Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Films, Someone Somewhere, A White, White Day, and Cane River. Once again, a total softball. This is a book. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
What am I going to say? Fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Okay. Great answer. Okay, yeah. So, you know, still, of course, we are still in the situation where the movie theaters are closed down. But my gosh, there's a lot of interesting stuff that is streaming through various platforms. And again, I'll just mention some of the platforms that I've been using. One is the Movie House in Millerton, New York, which is streaming all kinds of nice stuff. Another one is Film Forum in New York City. Another one is Film at Lincoln Center. Another one is the Parkway Theater in Baltimore. All these places have good active virtual screenings going on. So, you know, for a few bucks, around the price of a movie ticket. And by the way, you can have as many people as you want in the room, so it's cheaper than a movie ticket in that way. You know, there's some good stuff out there, and I'm really just glad to be spreading the word about this. And I've got three pretty good movies this week. No masterpieces, but pretty good films. So I'd like to start with Someone Somewhere, which is a French film by Cédric Clapiche, who is a French filmmaker of some note. And I'll start off by saying that the title in French is actually a kind of a pun. It is De Moi, with Moi spelled M-O-I, meaning me, not M-O-I-S, which would mean month. So it basically, the French title would translate as something like To Me. T-W-O, me. Oh, this is getting complicated. And it's basically the story of two people, yes. Eventually, by the end of the movie, we do have a romance going here. This movie is basically a kind of a romantic comedy. But it's an unconventional romantic comedy because, in fact, the two characters who ultimately have the romantic connection, they don't even know each other or even meet each other until the last, oh, I'm not sure, maybe 1 minute of the movie. And this is the kind of thing that's been done before. There's a wonderful silent movie, for example, going way, way back to the 1920s called Lonesome, which has a similar sort of a thing. And it's been done in other ways as well, where we have two characters who are very close to each other but never quite meet each other. And then at the end of the movie, they finally are brought together. And that's the basic conceit behind Someone Somewhere. So what we have here are two characters who in a way are different and in a way are the same. They are complementary characters, we might say. We have a young man, a very nice young man named Rémy, and one of his problems, well, he works in a warehouse, although eventually then his job changes within the same company to be part of their call center. So the basic idea is that he has sort of low-level jobs. He's not a genius or anything like that, but he seems like a very nice young man. And he has a problem. His problem is that he can't sleep. And so eventually somebody suggests that he go off and he see a psychotherapist about this, and he does. Our other main character is a young woman named Melanie. And she has a more sort of higher level sort of a job. She works in a science lab, and she's involved with some research, and she has coming up, she's supposed to give a very, very important talk about her research, which is going to be attended by a great sponsor of the research lab. And so it's a very important, some of their funding may depend on whether she gives this talk successfully or not. So she has a real sort of intellectual job, and she has a problem, which is that she's sleeping all the time. She sleeps too much. So Rémy, who is sort of the working guy who can't sleep, and Melanie, who is sort of the upper, the mobile professional woman who sleeps much too much, and someone suggests that she go see a psychotherapist, which she does. So the movie is alternating throughout between these two characters, one of whom can't sleep, the other whom sleeps too much, both of whom see psychotherapists, and their psychotherapy sessions are part of the movie. They have very different kinds of psychotherapy. Psychotherapist, he is seeing an older man. She is seeing a younger woman. And there's other characters who come into the movie too. Family members in both cases. A guy who runs a nearby grocery store, which sells foods from all over the world, where they both go to buy food, although, again, they don't meet each other there. And that's the way the movie unfolds. And we suspect that probably by the end of the film, these two will meet each other and they'll probably hit it off, and that finally does happen at the very end of the movie, which is a bit of a spoiler, but not really, because you know this is coming. Someone Somewhere is one of these. It's a French movie, like so many other French movies. Again, it's no masterpiece. It's not a great film, but it's just a very nice movie. It's very diverting to watch, and it's very well acted, especially by François Civil as Rémy and Anna Girardot as Melanie. Good acting, nice story, amiable characters, a little undercurrent of melancholy, because these two both do have psychological problems. And especially with Rémy, we finally discover what is underneath all of this, something that happened when he was a child, which we discover sort of late in the movie. So there's an undercurrent of seriousness to the movie, but that undercurrent aside, the movie is pretty much light as a souffle. And those who enjoy French movies and who enjoy sort of slightly unconventional romantic comedies will have a good time with this film. Our second film, A White, White Day, comes from a very different part of the world. It comes from Iceland. Iceland has a really interesting film industry. It's a small one, and in fact, A White, White Day is an Iceland-Denmark-Sweden co-production, but it's really an Icelandic film, and it's in the Icelandic language. And like so many Scandinavian films, not all Scandinavian films or films from that part of the world, not all of them, but like many of them, it is a dark movie. So even though it's called A White, White Day, it is a dark film in a whole lot of ways. And I found it a really tremendously intriguing film, written and directed by one Hlynur Pálmason, who is a real talent. Now, A White, White Day starts off, and again, this is a very dark drama, so that'll set the scene. It starts off with a shot of a car driving down a road, no other traffic around, snow, ice, the usual sort of thing that you might expect to see in a movie from Iceland, all over the place. It's gloomy, it's misty, it's foggy. The car is going down the road, and the car goes and goes and goes. Now, this movie is not a radical example, but it's sort of a mild example of what nowadays is called slow cinema, which is to say it does not unfold its story at a rapid pace. It's not really slow cinema like some filmmakers are doing in some parts of the world nowadays, but it goes in that direction. So we see this car going down this road. What's going to happen? And it goes down the road for a really long time with the camera just following behind, and then all of a sudden the car crashes through a guardrail at the side of the road and plunges off a cliff. So there's our big dramatic moment at the very, very beginning of the movie. And then the camera stays on the broken guardrail. And we are just left to imagine what happened down below, because we know that it went down a long drop. All of this, again, takes a fair amount of time to watch. So at this point, you're going to decide whether you really want to see this movie or not, because this is not rip-roaring action. This is a very slowly unfolding, high drama, to be sure, a car accident, and surely a fatal one. Or was it an accident? Did that car deliberately go through the guardrail and off the side of the cliff? But the point is, the movie is in no hurry to show us this. And you decide at this point, if you're going to get into the pace of the film, it's going to be a slow pace. And if you decide to stay with it, I think you will be very much rewarded, because I think it's a terrific movie. So after this opening, the story of the film begins, and it turns out to be about the man who is the widower of the woman who we find out had this fatal car accident. And he is now raising his granddaughter, and he also is involved with other members of his family. We get to know his situation, and he basically is grieving. He is grieving the death of his wife. And we meet, again, other family members who are also upset, but not as upset as he is. He's also renovating his house, the very modest house that he lives with, sort of out in the middle of nowhere. And he, by the way, works for the local police department. He starts to get the idea that maybe his late wife was having an affair with a friend of theirs, a friend of the family. And he starts to investigate this, which makes sense. He is, after all, you know, he's a cop, basically. And that is what the basic plot of the movie is. However, I didn't find that aspect of the movie, his investigating this, finding out about the affair, ultimately a big confrontation takes place, I found much more interesting simply his relationship with his little granddaughter, who he takes care of and who spends a lot of time at his house. And the relationship between this older man and this little girl who's about 8 years old, I just found absolutely fascinating. And again, this unfolds at a very slow pace. And there's not a lot of drama and a lot of comedy in the movie, although there are some of those things. Basically, we are just sort of invited into this man's life, into this man's environment, into this man's family. And we get to spend a lot of time just sort of gradually finding out things about them. Now, again, there's real drama here. The man investigating about this affair that his wife may have had, and sure enough, she did have, and that kind of thing. But mainly, I just found it a marvelous way of just being in this Icelandic environment and spending time with these characters and seeing this drama very gradually unfold. By the way, this is another movie with psychotherapy in it. And in this case, the psychotherapy takes place, and this is so relevant to today's situations, over a computer screen. And it's no less effective or less harrowing for the man sometimes for all of that. So again, it's a psychological drama. It's a drama that unfolds very slowly, but I found it very, very dramatic. And above all, I found it very, very atmospheric. So if you want to see a movie that gives you a chance to have a long, gradual, deep dive into this environment, very different from the environment that most of us are in from day to day, then I highly recommend A White, White Day. The title, by the way, refers to a kind of day when the sky and the terrain are so white that you can't tell where one starts and where the other ends, and that is the terrain in which, or the situation in which ghosts can speak to us. And this movie is very much about the ghost of a real person speaking to our main character. Third movie I'd like to talk about today is called Cane River, and it is a very, very different kind of film in a whole lot of ways. First of all, it was made way back in 1982 by Horace Jenkins. And Horace B. Jenkins was a very talented filmmaker. No sooner did he make Cane River than he died. He died right after the movie had its premiere. He was not an old man at all, a very untimely death. And the movie ended up never really having an American release. Now it has been revived, rediscovered, revived, and it is streaming, and it is a lovely, 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 lovely little film. It is a very romantic film. It's basically a love story, and it is a very fine, wonderful, pure example of regional cinema. It was filmed in Louisiana, not too far from New Orleans, and at one point a little bit of the film takes place in New Orleans. And the cast is local people, and it is all done on this very almost amateur level. The acting is not very good. The cinematography is not very good, which is to say, not very polished. But there's a wonderful authenticity to it, a wonderful feeling of genuineness to it that I found ultimately kind of irresistible. So basically, there is a young man who has been away. He's become a school athlete, but he doesn't. And he's been drafted by one of the major league football teams, but he doesn't want to be a football player. He wants to be a poet. He wants to be a writer. So he turns down the offer from the major league football team and comes back to his community down in rural Louisiana. To start up his life along a new direction then. And very, very early in the film, he meets a young woman who is working as a tour guide. And they hit it off and they become friends, although her mother does not want her hanging around with this young man, and that's part of the story's drama. Now, what this movie is about on one very important level, it is very much about what we might call race relations, but these characters are all African Americans. The point is different kinds of African Americans. The young man comes from Creole stock. He is very light-skinned. The young woman comes from non-Creole, much darker-skinned stock, and that is why her mother doesn't want her to be hanging around with this young man, because he's one of those Creoles and they don't want nothing to do with us. And on his point of view and the young woman's point of view, they can't see any problem here at all with them hitting it off. So it's a movie, again, a little bit about race relations, but it's really about relations within a particular kind of African-American ambiance. But, you know, that's part of the drama of the movie. The movie doesn't focus so much on the drama as it focuses on the very slowly blooming romance between these two who become good friends and then want to become lovers, actually. But they have the young woman's mother being a big objector to all this, being very upset about this on racial grounds. So you learn some things about the kind of inter-African-American race relations in a place like Louisiana, but mainly you get to know about these characters. And I got to repeat again, the movie is the opposite of polished. It was obviously made on a shoestring budget with very, you know, people who are not polished professionals, but it is just such an engaging, sweet, genuine movie that its authenticity more than made up for me what it lacked in polish. I think Cain River is a wonderful movie to spend time with, and I could not recommend it more highly. Again, no masterpiece, no example of polished first-rate professional cinema, but a lovely, lovely film, partly because of those reasons. And so that is my somewhat diversified story this week, Jill.
Diversification is everything. Thank you so much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Someone Somewhere, A White, White Day, and Cain River.